We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
So at Wave Church, there's a couple of things we believe that is essential for the development of every individual. Number one is to know God. There's not a person on this planet that does not deserve the opportunity to know God. Who can say amen? Number two, find community. It's not enough just to know God, but you got to find community. Amen? To help people navigate, help you navigate the walk of life, the challenges of life, and in community, it's in the context of church. Amen? And then, of course, to discover your purpose, to know why God made you and why God put you on planet Earth. And then how, having found God, having found community, having found your purpose, then how you can make a difference. We do that, and that's important to us. That's what we call the four spiritual steps of development in Wave Church. Amen? Why we have journeyed this morning, as I speak to you, there's a whole group of people who are going through those four steps as we speak, which is amazing. I would encourage you, if you've not yet been part of that, the strongest thing I could ever do is encourage you to do that. So I want to talk to you about miracles. Here's the thing I want to say. Miracles are an everyday occurrence. See, I know we read the book of Acts and we read about this miracle and that miracle and demon here, a healing there, raising of the dead here, and Paul's preaching till midnight. Some poor guy falls asleep. It's in the Bible if you haven't seen it. He falls asleep, which is always encouraging for a preacher to know that if you can fall asleep during the Apostle Paul, you're in good company. But he was preaching until midnight. How many would like me to preach from now till midnight? Anybody? Yeah. Well, then why do you get up and leave at the end of a service so quickly, all right? So for the rest of you who didn't cheer. But then we read all these great miracles because that guy fell out the window on the first floor of a building and he died. And Paul goes down, just raises him up from the dead. Imagine that guy will probably never fall asleep again. Wouldn't you agree? And so it might be Paul's annoyed with him. Just let him go. But miracles are an everyday occurrence. We ask the question, why don't we see more miracles? That is a question I often get asked as a pastor. Why don't we see more miracles? Well, miracles are happening every day. You just got to look around. Here's a miracle. See if you would agree that the miracle of the birth of a baby is a miracle. I mean, like I've got now four grandchildren, so I'm actually in double portion. Not only have I had the wonder of holding my own children, but I remember when Alyssa was born, when Josh was born, when Sam was born, and I kept thinking, I made this. This little child is mine. It's a miracle. Now, don't get me wrong. I realized God pre-designed, predestined. But what a miracle. God gave us the ability to reproduce. Don't you? I mean, is it just me? Or does anybody else think a child's birth is a miracle? It is just a miracle. What it does to you is a miracle. And then not only that, but the miracle of seasons. By the way, I want you to notice that Josh, my son, is in denial today. Because he's still thinking he's in summer with that Tommy Bahama shirt on that he got from the thrift store, praise the Lord. And Josh, you need to know that this is actually fall now, and that is a summer shirt. Anybody thought that this morning? There you go. But you ever thought about the fact that, you know, like at least on where we live in the mid-Atlantic, I love the four seasons, don't you? Like, who wants to live in San Diego? It's 70 degrees every day. It's Groundhog Day. It's boring, at least here. But think about the miracle of seasons, the fact that they do change. Yeah. Amen? And who determines that? How did all that happen? A few people raised their hand when I asked who wants to live in San Diego. Praise the Lord. We'll go live there. Praise the Lord. I chose to live here, praise the Lord. What about the miracle of breath in your lungs? And actually, I did some research. Listen to this. This is fascinating about how your body works. Your body is a miracle. Every day we see miracles. The miracle of seasons. The miracle of the birth of a child. Or what about this one? The human body contains trillions of cells. Trillions. of cells, 78 different organs, and more than 60,000 miles of blood vessels. If you stretch them from end to end, it says incredibly all of the cells, vessels, and organs work together to keep you alive. Each organ belongs to one of 10 body systems. These body systems are interconnected and dependent upon one another to function. The fact that your body functions is a miracle in itself. I mean, just think about it. It's amazing. Everything in your body functions because another part tells it to. Your heart beats, your lungs, throughout your body, you inhale oxygen and carbon monoxide. Just think about all of your body. Let me tell you something. You are a miracle. Where did that next breath come from? Where did that next beating of the heart come from? It is a miracle. Miracles are an everyday occurrence. Who can say amen? What about the miracle of creation? Do you ever stop and think about the fact that this solar system and all that's involved in planet Earth and all the universe, that do you ever thought about the tide and thought, what a miracle, the tide only comes but so far. And it knows where to stop and how to stop. It's a miracle. It's the miracle of creation. Let me show you what the Bible looks like here. Unusual miracles. Acts chapter 19. I got to move. God worked unusual miracles through Paul. People would take handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched Paul's skin to those who were sick, and their sickness would be cured, and evil spirits would leave them. Some of the Jews used to place from place to place and drive out evil spirits out of people, and they were calling upon the name of the Lord. But here's what the Bible says: the apostle Paul worked unusual miracles. I mean, like, that's a usual miracle. That's an unusual miracle. I mean, to me, miracle's a miracle. But there are some unusual miracles. So here were people were so sick they couldn't get to the Apostle Paul. He's only one human being. So people used to get there like something like this. And it would just touch Paul's skin. And then it would go back and touch the person who was sick and they'd be healed. How many think that's a pretty cool miracle? And multiply, Paul can only be in one place. But it says that handkerchiefs and aprons, one thing you will never see is me with an apron. That would be a miracle right there. That would be an unusual miracle. And Sharon said, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, darling. Isaiah 53, if you want to be familiar with miracles, you better know Isaiah 53. And in this famous healing passage of Isaiah, we see it today. Listen to me now. Today, as describing in whatever area you need it in, as for today. Isaiah 53 says, watch this. Surely he, everybody say he, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Ever say him. Yeah. Say he. Yeah. Him. Yeah. And with his. Ever say his. Yeah. Stripes we are healed. So we. Him. Yeah. His. In just 12 verses in Isaiah 53, the word he, him, or his, referring to who? Jesus, is used, listen to it, 49 times in just 12 verses. The key to receive unusual miracles is Jesus. I love this. Psalm 121 verse 1. Thank you for the underwhelming response. I will lift up my eyes where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The key to receiving your miracle is looking to Jesus. Amen. It's not a formula. It's not just like, if I could just get to that ministry and have that person, if I could just get at that conference, if I could, you know, just rub shoulders with this person. The key to your miracle is looking to Jesus. I will lift my eyes toward the mountain where my help comes from. The Lord is my helper in Jesus' name. Everything of every miracle in the Old Testament was always wanting to point people toward Jesus in the new. Think about Moses, the Bible says, in the desert. So Moses, the Bible says, made a bronze snake and he put it on a pole. Why? And then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. So here they are in the desert. There's snakes everywhere. And if they ever got bitten by a snake, all they had to do was look to the pole that Moses lifted in the desert. And if they looked to the pole with the bronze snake, they would be healed. What's that? It's a picture of the New Testament that we all got to look to Jesus who was lifted on a cross. And if we look to him, we can receive our miracle. Come on, somebody better do better than that. Let's give God some praise. So in this service, I want to move quickly through this section to get to the next section. There are miracles over nature. In the Bible, and I've studied it, I promise you I've studied it, and I've gone for all the different miracles. I actually literally took time to study every miracle of the New Testament, every single miracle, to look at them. And then I just went, there are so many. And then I started looking at, matter of fact, we're going to look at this in just a minute. It's going to be quite fascinating. But there's miracles over nature. Like in the Old Testament, Joshua said, "Sun, stand still." He was out there having a battle, a fight, a significant battle, and he realized the sun was going down. He knew he was winning, but he needed more daylight. He needed more time. He didn't want everybody to go to bed and fight another day. He wanted to build on the momentum that he had, but he needed more time. So the Bible says he looked up at the sun. I'm trying to get you creative about what miracle do you need? Because Joshua went, "I need more daylight." Sun, stand still. Stop. And the sun stopped. And Joshua thought, maybe you just need some more time for your miracle. Maybe you need to be speaking to something of nature and you need to declare something to receive your... What about Jesus calming a storm? All right, peace, be still, that's enough. Or what about Peter walking on water? Maybe God's called you to do something, and I know the water will never hold you, but the fact that Jesus told Peter to come means Peter got out of the boat and Peter started walking over water. A miracle over nature. Maybe today you're going to walk on some water. Maybe today you're going to get a word from God, and maybe nature won't hold you, but there's miracles over nature. What about this miracle, turning water into wine? That's a miracle over nature. Amen. Somebody who's an alcoholic and you're trying to figure out whether you should drink ever again. Well, you get a glass of water, pray over it, and if God turns into wine, go ahead and drink. Otherwise, stay away from it. It's going to jack your life up. Come on, somebody. Then there's miracles of supply. I'm going to tell you today, God provides miracles. He's a God that still provides. The money was in the fish's mouth. Jesus told Peter, go down and fish in the sea. And when you first fish you catch, open its mouth and there's gold coins. How would love, and that's how they paid the tax. How many would love to pay your taxes by fishing? Praise the Lord. That would be my dream come true. But the point is, listen to me, there's miracles in supply. What about the oil that flowed? In the Old Testament, the widow who said, I'm going to die. I've just got a little bit of oil. And the Bible says, the prophet said to her, borrow not a few vessels. Get as many as you can. And she began to pour into one vessel, then another, the little bit of oil she had. And she poured and she filled that vessel. And then she filled that vessel. Can I tell you, God can give you a miracle of supply. Let me ask you a question. What is better? Is it better to have a miracle of a healing, or is it better to have the miracle of divine health? Divine health, because it means if you need a miracle of healing, you were sick and you need, now God will meet you there. Right. You with me here? I'm just saying, let's go for what's better. Yeah. What's better? The miracle of God getting you out of bankruptcy, or the miracle of prosperity across your life? Which is better? So let's go for better. There's miracles. I'm just trying to say there's miracles, and the miracle of supply, I believe, is found in our faithfulness to give into God's house. He will see to it that your cupboards are never bare and you will never dry up and brooks do dry up. Let me explain this to you. God speaks to, I got to get down here for a minute. Is that okay? God speaks to Elijah. He says, Elijah, you can't stay here. I'm going to provide for you, but this is where you need to go. You need to go over to that brook. And so Elijah goes, all right. And there was a famine in the land. So Elijah goes to the brook, and every day he goes to the brook. And guess what happens? The brook's flowing with water, and Elijah's being, you know, nourished by the water. And every day, you won't believe it, a bird comes, a raven, and feeds Elijah. How many know that's a miracle? Okay, just try it one day. Try living without food and just going down to the Chesapeake Bay and believing that God will bring a bird to you and provide food for you on an everyday basis. That's a miracle. But then what happens is the miracle, the Bible says the brook dried up. It was a miracle, but God's now saying, come on, I want you to go a widow and she's going to provide for you. And if we're not careful, we can be still living in a brook that was dried up that God was in, but there's new miracles today, but you're still camping in a miracle where the brook dried up. What about Jesus feeding 5,000 people with just a bit of bread and a few fish? So there's miracles of supply, there's miracles of healing. Matter of fact, this is what the Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Watch, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. What about when Jesus cut off the high priest's servant ear and Peter cuts it off and Jesus just bends down? I love this miracle. I think in pictures. Anybody else? I can just picture Jesus, Peter, and he picks up the ear and he sticks it back on the guy's head. And the guy was so grateful. I mean, if that were you, wouldn't you be glad? Thank you, Jesus. Man, I'm with you from now on. I'm giving my life to you right now. Wouldn't you do that? Okay, what about miracles over demonic power? Mark chapter 1, look what it says. And at 11, when the sun set, they brought to him those who were distressed and those who were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed them. And it says, as many that were sick of diverse diseases, and he cast out many. Ever say many? Cast out many devils. Did you see that? And suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. This is controversial in today's 21st century world, but I believe what I'm about to say is 100% true. Demon spirits today, as in the Bible days, still cause dumbness, deafness, foaming, fits, insanity, teeth gnashing, sickness, suicide, screaming, and exhaustion. The devil has not changed. Did you hear me? And that's why I'm convinced the church is really a little shallow in the shallow end of the pool when it comes to spiritual discernment. Because we have a motto in the Pentecostal church, if in doubt, cast it out. And I actually think deliverance can be a cop out for repentance. We can blame God a spirit of anger. No, get your emotions under control. Repent of your anger problem. Amen. And the Bible says we ought not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. And one of the ignorances in which I think we're ignorant of is what we think is the devil is not, and what we think is not the devil is the devil. Harry Potter, just to name something in Jesus' name. And I will fight anybody, and I mean fight anybody, who would try to tell me that Harry Potter is harmless. You are a spiritual fool if you do not know that that is evil. A spiritual fool. You are. You're blind. Because the Bible says the devil can appear as an angel of light. I've had people get upset with me. If this doesn't offend you, come and see me afterwards and I will personally offend you. Because I'm telling you, you need some discernment about what's going on in the spirit realm. Okay? All right. I can tell you're very excited about that. Some of you want me to get off it. Some of you are freaking out. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're freaking out. Maybe I just thought got you to think a little bit about not opening your children to things that you don't want to, don't give the devil a foothold. Amen? Having said that, let's go. John 21, verse 25. Jesus did many other miracles as well. Listen what John said. I love this. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room enough to contain and for it to be written in. Here is the writer of John saying, Jesus performed so many. I mean, I've studied every miracle, by the way. Every miracle that Jesus performed, I've looked at. Amazing. Incredible. I can name them. But let me tell you this. As many as there are, here's John going, there were so many, there would not be enough books in the world to contain. I want to tell you, miracles are available. Jesus is still doing miracles. Look what he says in John 20. It says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Whatever it is that you get, well, Steve, I don't see the miracle I need in the four Gospels. Listen, there it is. Yeah. many other miracles. Too numerous to mention. Books would be unable to have contained the variety and the depth and the magnitude and the abundance of miracles that Jesus performed. How many believe he's still doing it today? So what is, let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible to limit God? I mean, God's a God. I mean, how many believe God is omnipotent? That God is omniscient? That God is omnipresent? That God can do anything? Anybody believe? But Jesus said, with man it's impossible. With God all things are possible. Is it possible, therefore, to limit God? I want to show you what the Bible says, because I actually think it is. Psalm 78 and verse 40. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the wasteland. This is speaking of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, going into the promised land. It says, how often they rebelled against him. Again and again, they put God to the test. Their negativity, their moaning, their groaning. They're speaking against Moses, the leader. Man, we should never have listened to you in the first place. And if we had to just, we'd be better off being back in Egypt than having to go through what we're getting. And God, the Bible says, they tested him in the desert. Oh, there's no water. Oh, there's no food. We're sick of the same food. We're tired of you, Moses. And where'd you go? And can you imagine leading these people? And it says, they tested the Lord. In verse 41, it says in the King James, yea, I love the King James, yea, they turned back and tempted God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power and the day he redeemed them from the oppressor. So here's what I want to say to you. We can limit miracles in our lives as what the Bible says they did in the Old Testament. How do we limit miracles? How do we see lesser miracles than God would want us to have? Number one, look at this verse. It says, they rebelled. Rebellion will always cause you. Do you know the Bible says, and I'm on this point now this morning, so I might as well stay on it. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So, of course, today in our world, we don't think witchcraft is all that harmful. We kind of think it's like there's white witches and there's nice witches and we've got witch TV shows and warlock TV shows and it's all very good and they're all doing agents of good and they're using their powers for good. But you read the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about those sorts of things. You have me here? Now tell me what you think. You have me here? And so rebellion, the Bible says, well, in other words, not doing what God told you to do will cause there to be a limit of miracles. Just not being obedient. See, you want a miracle supply, you might want to get around to the idea of what God tells you how to handle your finances. And by the way, God doesn't just tell you to tithe. He tells you to actually steward and manage your finances. He says, have a vision, write it down. What's he saying? Have a budget. Amen? And so it's stewardship. It's wisdom with you. Okay? Are you with me here? And so here's what I want to say. One of the ways in which we can limit God is rebellion. Well, I know God said, but I'm going to still do what I want to do. Well, you can pray for miracles all you like, but you're limiting God from what he can do for you. And it's not that God doesn't want to do it, but you are limiting what God can do for you in Jesus' name. Here's the next thing the Bible says. Not only did they rebel, but it says they had a bad memory. It says here, listen to this, because we're talking about miracles. We want to see more miracles. That actually they forgot, the Bible says. Look at it one more time. They did not remember his power. One thing I don't want to do is live in the past. Are you hearing me? We're about to have our Vision 2020 weekend coming up here in Wave Church, celebrating 20 years of Shadowlight, being here, the senior pastors of Wave Church, and talking about what I believe the next 20 years looks like. Amen? But one thing I don't want to do is live in the past. And all my stories are all about the past. Because if we live in the past, we have no future. Right. But one thing I do want to do is make sure the past lives to remind me for my future. Amen? And I want to encourage you here that one of the ways in which I think we can limit God and limit miracles is if we actually have a bad memory and we forget what the Lord has done. That's why when we sing that song, I see you move. I see you move. I believe you can do it again. I believe you can do it again. I like that song. God, based on what I know you've done in the past, you can. I've seen you move. I've seen you move a mountain. I'm reminding myself, based on what I've seen you do in the past, you can do it again. Come on, you can do it again. Come on, he can do it. Thank God for the miracles. Oh, but you don't understand. I'm just here. It's not happening. Come on, you got to make sure that you don't live in the past, but you got to make your past live. Amen. Thank you for the underwhelming response. You're all such in awe over my singing, I can tell. Here's the third thing that I believe can limit miracles in our lives is just a lack of honor. A lack of honor. Now, if we want to see miracles, we better have a whole lot of honor. But what can limit it, as they limited the Holy One of Israel, was their rebellion. Let me tell you, was their bad memory. But also, what will limit miracles is a lack of honor. I want to show you something in the Bible that I'm convinced, if we have really understood it, we'd be a lot more intentional in our honor. Let me just start by saying, honor means this, to give value. To value, to respect, to hold precious, my little precious. to support. Now, tonight, we're going to be honoring Veterans Day. We're honoring all day today, Veterans Day, but we're honoring our military in tonight's service to honor our military. What does that mean? It means we're valuing all those who've ever served in any of the armed forces. Amen. We're actually respecting them. We're holding them as precious. Amen? And it ought not just to be a day, but it's a day to remind us. It means to show support. Your being here tonight is showing support of our military. Two of the finest people. We've got people from all over the United States share the most amazing stories about what they've done. Heroes, amazing people who've risked life and lost loved ones. And tonight we're going to have two people from Wave Church. We don't need to go outside the four walls of this church to find some heroes that are serving in our military. And I'm telling you, you are going to love their story. We've talked to them about what we're able to discuss publicly. One of them worked in the CIA, an amazing career in the military, distinguished beyond words. He's going to be sharing some things that he's allowed to talk about that I think you, when you hear what he's done, you'll be so proud of our military and thank God, and you'll want to honor them all the more, which is the purpose of what tonight is. Another one is commander now help me out, Josh. It's a destroyer, is that right? Yeah, was the commander of a destroyer battleship. And when he was actually an officer in the military, when the USS, is that right? Yeah, I'm saying too many yeses, aren't I? USS Cole was bombed. His ship was the first one to lend support and help in the rescue and recovery of that whole scenario. So how many are looking forward to tonight? I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing. Going to hear from them. But I want to show you what a lack of honor looks like. Quick, real go. Here you go. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. By the way, singers, musicians, hold off for a minute because I want to get to this point because I feel God's on it. It says, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? The brothers of, there is his brother, James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon. If you didn't know Jesus had brothers, there they are. And then it says, and his sisters are here with us. And they took offense at him. Everybody say offense. And Jesus said to them, watch, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own home. And he, watch, he's talking about a prophet where there's no honor, because everybody knows him because he lived next door. I married his sister. I grew up with him. We did carpentry together. Look what the Bible says. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. What about you? I know plenty of people who'd be happy to accept the except. But the Bible says he could not do any miracles. Why? Because of a lack of honor. Show me a church where there's no honor for its leaders. I'll show you a church with no miracles. Show me a marriage where there's no honor for the husband and wife, and I'll show you a marriage, no miracles. Show me a young person who's no honor for his parents and no honor for authorities, and I'll show you a young person who'll be locked out of the power of God and the provision of God and the hand of God. Romans 13 says, give honor to where honor is due. Look what the Bible says here, Jesus speaking, and he talks about the people who are not, who are breaking the real wisdom of the Word of God. He's talking about how you guys focus on traditions that you made that aren't God made. But let me show you in Romans 13, and this one, I know in today's world, let me tell you, I did not come to bless you. You with me here? I didn't come just to make you feel good. I'm reading the Bible. And I know when I read the Bible, this verse ought to challenge a whole lot of people. Okay, let me show you what it looks like. Let everyone be subject to the governing authority. For there is no authority except that which is God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Now watch this. On them. So in the Old Testament, God judged nations. Okay? New Testament, you bring judgment on yourself. The consequences of your sin and your rebellion is inherent in your person. Okay, when people say God brought an earthquake and wiped out a whole city, God doesn't do that. That's Old Testament. But if you choose to live a life of rebellion and not no submission, no honor, then the Bible says you bring judgment on yourself. Amen. I'm just saying. For rulers do not hold terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended. Even if what they do is wrong. Amen. That was me saying that. That's not the Bible. For the one in God's authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment to the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is why you should pay your taxes, for authorities are God's servants who are giving their full time to governing. Oh, it's gotten very quiet in here. Amen. And it says, to governing, give to everyone what you owe. It says, if you owe taxes, pay your taxes. If it's revenue, then revenue. If it's respect, then respect. I don't care who the president of the United States is. He is getting my respect and he is getting my... I don't agree with... I promise you I sure don't agree with everything this president's done. But he is my president and he is your president. He is our president and we will pray for him. And some presidents will get you praying more than others. Amen? And the issue is not about whether you're condoning or approving what he or she has done. It's about you understanding the importance of understanding the wisdom that miracles come by showing honor where honor's due. Sometimes the best way you can honor somebody is just shut your mouth. Amen? Or maybe voting without complaining when the outcome isn't what you voted for. We must honor church leaders. Look what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5. Let the elders who rule well be counted of worthy of double what? Double what? Come on, you're being very quiet. Double? I'll give you one more chance at it. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain. Amen. The laborer is worthy of his wages. Well, how much does that preacher get paid? No honor in that. Amen. No honor in that. You can say that, but don't be surprised if there's not a lot of miracles happening in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. And look what the Bible says, Hebrews 13, verse 7. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls and those as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would not be profitable to you. We're to honor our husbands. Amen. 1 Peter The Bible says 3 verse 7, husbands, in the same ways, it says, be considerate to your wife. We're to honor our husbands and our wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You know what God's saying? Husband, if you don't actually love your wife, God will hinder your prayers. There's a good, all the girls said. Wow, did you hear the girls? And all the girls said. Seriously, now listen to me. You're not loving your wife. Don't you be surprised if God's not answering your prayers. I talked about it last week. But also the Bible says, can I talk to the girls for a minute? Is it okay? Girls, is it okay if I talk to you for a minute? You want to see miracles in your marriage and blessing? Listen to this. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, not to someone else's. Not to your father. To your husband. Amen. So that if any of them who do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the believer of their wife. When they see the purity and the reverence of your life, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, Gucci. Amen. And so elaborate hairstyles, wink, hair salon. I'm just making it up as I go. Okay. And the wearing of gold jewelry from Finks or fine clothes, rather of the inner self and the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of worth a lot in the sight of God. Hey, girls, you love your husband. You show honor. You ready for it? Are we ready? Submit to their leadership. And all the men said, yeah. Where have you been the last 20 years? You've never had the courage to be that loud. And everybody said together, yeah. That's how it works. You want miracles in your life. I believe God can bless you if you can just get an agreement and honor with each other. Listen to me. Even if you make wrong decisions sometimes. Sharon and I, we were in a wrong decision, weren't we? We're going to buy a car, get a new job, and I was going to go. Can you imagine? I went to a car sales yard to buy a van to become a courier driver of a company that employed me to be a courier driver, but I needed my own van. I went to a dealership, listen to me, a dealership to buy a car with my wife, and the car dealer says, tell me, what are you buying this for? And we told him. He said, what's the name of the company? And I still remember the company, Advance Couriers. And he said to me, listen, I need to talk to you for a minute. You seem like a really nice young couple. And I just want to tell you, this is not the career for you. And I even know the company you're working for. And it isn't all that legitimate. And they really take advantage of people. I don't want you. Can you imagine? You're talking about a miracle. A car salesman wouldn't sell me a car. Amen. Here's the last one. I'm done. My time is up. Overfamiliarity, without a doubt, can limit the power of God in your life. We talked about a lack of honor. Prophet is without honor, except in his hometown. But look, let me show you this one more time. I just wanted you to understand, we can take for granted the people God has placed in our lives. We can get too close to them and too familiar with them, and we can overlook what God's put in their life. By seeing the underbelly and the humanity of the leader that God has placed in their lives. You get around somebody long enough and you're in danger of becoming over familiar with them and actually taking off. You can come into a church like this and the first time you come into this church, you are in awe. Oh my gosh, look at this place. Look at this building. Wait a minute. I come in here and there's people greeting me and someone's helping me to park my car and someone's going to help me and take me over to the children's registration and it's all computerized biometric technology. And wait a minute. While I'm here sitting under the word, someone's watching my kids and teaching my kids to be thankful. And then I'm sitting in great praise and worship, an air-conditioned building, a beautiful facility with great big... Oh, my gosh. And then there's people greeting you and there's fellowship and there's community. And then you telling me that you got women's meetings and we meet with the girls and someone's helping praying with me. And then there's a youth group and the youth group are discipling my son and my daughter. Oh my gosh, this place is amazing. But you be in the same church for long enough, and if you're not careful, oh, I don't know. I feel like the worship leader really did a great job this morning. I think the sound was too loud. The lights were too bright. Where are my kids? Why aren't they ready when I want to go? Come on. And I got to tell you, one of the things you can do if you're not careful is actually take for granted and become over familiar with what God, what you got today, Pastor? I don't know. I'm actually not feeling that great. I'm going to make sure you got a word that can really lift me, because frankly, I need to be lifted. I don't know. Just, you better be good this morning. That's all I'm saying. It'll be glad. And I do not know how somebody can come to church during praise and worship and stand there with your arms folded and just kind of be locking around the room. I'm thinking to myself, my God, your heart is cold. Get your spirit plugged in. How could you stand there in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and just stand there? Come on, you got to get your praise on. I've been preaching now for 35 years. Never once have I allowed myself the luxury to take for granted and take for God for granted. God, thank you. I mean, let me be honest with you. Every Sunday I come here, I think, I'm surprised people come. I'm so glad you come. I'm just glad you're here today. And I'm not thinking for a second, you're so blessed to have me. Are you hearing me? And I always think, God, I can't believe that I get the opportunity to preach your word. God, please anoint me, help me. And I just want to say, let's never take the Lord for granted. Let's never take our spouse for granted. Just never take the leaders that God has put in their life for granted, because you get around them long enough and you can find fault in anybody. When you see somebody long enough and look at the, when you first look, it all looks good. But you hang around long enough, you'll get to see the humanity of everything. Let me show you what it looks like. Let me show you. It says here in Singers, Musicians, come on back. Matthew chapter 11. Let's go here together. And I'm landing the plane, I promise you right now. Matthew chapter 11. And after finishing the instructions with his 12 disciples, he, Jesus, went there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, let me say John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah. Where was John? Come on, work with me. Where was John? Okay, and he heard about the deeds of the, okay, who's the Messiah? It's Jesus' cousin. Did you hear me? He knew Jesus. They're related. They are family. We are family. Come on. You with me here? And John heard in prison. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the sound effect. When John heard in prison what Jesus was doing, he asked his disciples, go ask Jesus. I can't go because I'm in prison, but you go and you ask him, are you the Messiah, or should we be looking for someone else? Shut the front door. What? John the Baptist is asking Jesus, are you the Messiah? He's in jail. He's about to die. And he thinks he could have the wrong guy, purely based on what he's hearing. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us what he's hearing. But I do know what the Bible does tell us. That when John and Jesus, inside their mother's wombs, when they walked into the same room, their spirits leapt in recognition and joy for each other. That John the Baptist was the forerunner for the Messiah. And then, of course, we know that John the Baptist lived this very interesting lifestyle. He was very holy. He was very much a holiness guy. He was very much a repentance guy. His job was to prepare, his job was to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And oh, they repented, and John was good. John was so good. People said, John, you the man. John, you the man. And John's going, I'm not the man, the lamb. He the man. I'm just trying to get you ready for the lamb of
Lamb of God. When he comes, I will not be worthy to loosen his sandals. And all I'm trying to do is get you filthy sinners ready in your heart to repent and prepare ye for the one that comes after me is so much greater, so much holier, so much purer. He's the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. And then Jesus walks in while John's baptizing and he says, behold, the Lamb, he the man. And John baptizes him. Listen, heaven opened. The Spirit of God descended on Jesus like that of a dove. And then a voice audibly speaks, behold, my son, the Lamb, he the man. You hearing me? Are you hearing me? This is all recorded. John was there at every one of these occasions. Now he's in prison. And he hears what Christ is doing. Is this really the Messiah? Well, let's contrast John's lifestyle to Jesus. John took a Nazarite vow. Never would that John ever drink alcohol in his life. And here is Jesus turning water into wine, rolling out the barrel. Here is John trying to get people, listen, man, if you're an adulterer, you are going to go to hell. You need to repent. And here is Jesus going, she was caught in the act of adultery. Woman, I forgive you. Here is John. He's obeying every tradition, every observance of the Jewish faith. And here is Jesus with his disciples. And Jesus' disciples aren't washing their hands. They're being declared ceremonially unclean. Yet it was a man-made tradition, not a God-made tradition. And everything that John is hearing, what are you hearing about some leaders sometimes that's causing you to question, are they really? Are you hearing me? And look what Jesus says. I've got to close. He says here, go back and tell John, report to John. It says, what you hear and what you see. Watch this now. It says here, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is being proclaimed to the poor. Let me tell you what Jesus was saying. Go back and tell John, John, you may not like my style. You may be hearing things that I'm doing that you wouldn't do. Well, if I were the Messiah, that's the whole point. You're not. I wouldn't be doing it that way. I don't like what I'm hearing. Go back and tell John, this is working. And the most profound thing that I think Jesus said to John that's so relevant in today's world of being overfamiliar and allowing ourselves to get offended by a leadership style is this next verse. Look at verse 6. Oh yeah, by the way, tell John, watch this. Go back and tell John, blessed is he who is not offended on account of me. Hey John, we're family, we're cousins. But I am the Messiah. You may not like the way I do it. Don't you get over familiar with your boss. Don't you get over familiar. Come on, somebody. Noah's son saw his dad naked and drunk, and the Bible says he went out and told the two brothers. The two brothers were so embarrassed, they wouldn't even look at their dad's nakedness, and they walked backwards and carried a blanket to cover the father's nakedness. The son that exposed the nakedness was cursed. Sometimes you can get so close to a leader, you get to see the humanity of a leader. And if you're not careful, you can get over familiar with that leader. I'll close with this story, and I'm done, I promise you. It's my last, I'm done. I was in a meeting in Australia with my senior pastor, and he walked into a room and thought I had done something that I hadn't done. In the room full of about 100 staff, because I was what's called the second in charge, the right-hand man of this senior pastor, who I love to this day. And he thought I had done something. In front of the whole staff, he yelled at me, and he didn't know it wasn't me who did it. It was just moving a staff meeting to a place that should never have been moved to. Cramming everybody in a room so the Bible college could have more room for more Bible college students. And it was just a wrong decision, never anyone's decision but the senior pastor. You have me here? And we're all crammed into this room. And I walked in not knowing that they'd moved it. And I said, listen, next week we will not be here. This is a mistake. But he didn't know all that. He just walked in and goes, why would you do this? And in front of everybody, he yelled at me for 5 minutes, tore my flesh off. Now, I know this. I know that man well enough to know that what he was venting on me had nothing to do with this moment. It was just the pressure of a whole bunch of other things that got the better of him. So I just stood there and said, "You're right, I'm so sorry. It'll never happen again." Several staff came up to me afterwards and said, "He should never have spoken to you like that." And I said, "Oh, no, no, no. You will give grace to that man. Look what he leads. Don't you get offended on my account when I'm not offended." Are you hearing me? The next Sunday, we're in church and we're worshiping. In the middle of the worship, this is his way of apologizing. He says, "Steve, I got a Bible verse for you." I said, "What is it?" And this is the Bible verse. "If the spirit of a leader rises against you, don't leave your post." And I looked at him and I laughed. This is during worship. You'd be surprised the things pastors talk about during worship. And I looked at him, I laughed. I said, "I'm not going anywhere." I said, that didn't offend me. I got nothing but grace for that. And he found out, of course, I had not done what he thought I did. But can I tell you, sometimes the closer you get to your spouse, if you're not careful, you can actually check out on them. And you can leave what God put in your life. And you can lose the miracle of what God wanted to do in your family. In God's house, it's true. In your job, it's true. And even, are you ready for it? I know some of you aren't going to like it. In government, it's true. Amen. I teach my kids, you will respect the police. That doesn't mean the police are perfect. Are you hearing me? But you will respect them. I remember one time I got pulled over for doing something I was guilty of. I got yelled at by that policewoman for 30 minutes in a car. True story, Josh? Yelled at her. Josh was there. Praise the Lord. Why didn't they yell at Josh? She yelled at me. She goes, "All the time that you made up by driving in the side lane," because it was at the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel, "and I'm on my motorcycle." I said, "Ma'am, you're correct. You are absolutely right. I was breaking the law. I am so sorry." She goes, "Who do you think you are? What excuse could you possibly have?" I said, "None you'd be too pleased with." Then she said, "Get your son. Get him in the car." He was in and out of the car in 2 minutes. Casey Treat was with me. She says, "Go get Big Red." Big Red gets in the car. He's out of the car in 2 minutes. Then she goes, "Go back and get him." I'm going back for a second time. They're in there. I went, "Oh, God." She goes, "I did everything I can to see if I can get you fired up. I tried everything. You were nothing but sweet, nothing but kind, nothing but honoring, nothing respectful." She literally tore up my speeding ticket. Not my speeding ticket, but my infringement ticket. And then she says, "You have a blessed day." I know she knew who I was. She's wanting to see what would come out of me. But you show respect. You show respect. And you got nothing to be afraid of. Give the Lord a hand if you receive the word. Come on, you can do better than that. Amen. I did the same thing in the first service. And I said, "I'm going to preach the first part shorter so I can spend more time." I gave myself too much time. Are you okay? Can you stay with us for a few more minutes? There's two things we want to do before we close. This is the most important. Anybody received that word, by the way? Is that a good word? You want miracles? Maybe today you could just go and show honor to your spouse. Young people, show honor to your parents. Clean your room before they ask you to. That'd be a miracle. Can I pray for you today if you don't know Jesus? Because I still believe the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. How many believe that? How many believe the greatest miracle? How many believe the greatest miracle? Hey, you may not like the style, but come on, miracles are happening. Amen. I don't even like all the music we sing, but it's not for me. I can't keep the words in my mouth sometimes. It's too quick. But that means I'm just getting older. I used to be able to dance to the music. Now I feel like I'm uncoordinated. I mean, I used to be a really good dancer. Don't you admit, Charlie, shut up. But it's not for me. It's for them who aren't even here yet. Can I pray for you? Say, "Steve, I don't know Jesus as you speak of. Steve, I'm not a Christian." Maybe you got offended by a Christian. Maybe you got offended by a leader. And I want to say to you today, come on, let's look to Jesus. Can I pray for you? Come on home. Who's believing with me people are going to meet Jesus? All right, let's all close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Time is up. I got to finish. And I want to give this the time that's required. If you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, I want to give my life to God. Steve, I want to get right with God. Steve, I want to come back to God. Would you do something, please? Without a second hesitation, would you please take your hand and lift it in the air high enough and long enough for me to see it so I can pray for you. God bless 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 you. Come on. God bless you. 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 Come on. I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. Come on. Where are you? Give it a wave. God bless you. God bless you. Church, can we give a lot of hand? God bless you. I see that hand. I see both those hands. Come on, give God some praise. Let's pray a prayer. Everybody, thank you, sir. I see your hand as well. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's give a Lord a hand for that. Come on.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.